You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Amy Stevens had high hopes for the letter she wrote to her employer in July 2013, a letter that took her months to compose.
With the support of my loving wife, I have decided to become the person that my mind already is. I cannot begin to describe the shame and suffering that I have lived with. At the end of my vacation on August 26, 2013, I will return to work as my true self, Amy Australia Stevens, in appropriate business attire.
Those words propelled Amy Stevens into the heart of a legal case soon to be argued before the U.S. Supreme Court, a case that could be a landmark in the future of LGBT rights in this nation. Amy had worked for 6 years as a funeral director for R.G. and G.R. Harris Funeral Homes in Garden City in Metro Detroit. Through the years, she dressed and presented herself as a man. At home, she dressed as she knew herself to be, a woman. After she presented that letter to her boss, the funeral home fired Amy and a legal battle began. And on October 8th, with the support of the ACLU and the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, Amy's case will be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court. Amy Stevens is here with us now. Amy, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it is good to have you, and we want to welcome Amy's attorney. Jay Kaplan has been staff attorney for the ACLU of Michigan's LGBT Project since its founding in 2001. Jay, welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Amy, you worked for Harris for 6 years. What did you do there?
I was a funeral director and embalmer.
And how do you think you were regarded? What were your performance reviews and raises like?
Performance reviews were always good. In fact, I got a $5,000 raise probably at the beginning of 2013. So I would say my performance was very well.
And through those years, you presented and you dressed as a cisgender man.
Correct.
How long had you known that that was not who you truly were?
Good question. I've known I was different since about the time I was 5 years old. But I didn't know exactly what was going on back then. Being raised in the South and being well before the internet, really didn't know what it was, had no way to find out what it was. And we didn't talk about things like that anyway.
That must have taken quite a toll on you.
There were some rough patches along the way, but not having known any different, I figured I was doing what I was supposed to do.
So what tipped it for you to realize who you truly were and how you wanted to live?
Well, it took some time. I did dress at home, but never left the house dressed.
And how did your wife Donna react when you told her your truth?
She was kind of worried about me in the beginning. And when it finally came out and I told her what was going on, she says, basically, "Is that all?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "I thought you might have been going out with another woman." And I laughingly looked at her and I said, "Well, actually, dear, I have been, but it was me." So she told her family what was going on, and it was acceptance from them. They had no problems. So that's when I started seeing a therapist, and with the hopes of finding out what was going on with me, was I normal or not? But it still wasn't as cut and dried as I had hoped it would be, because the therapist didn't come right out and say, "Well, you're transgender."
So that took some therapy and it took time.
Yes, she had me do some homework assignments at the end of our sessions, and she had me dress and go out in public. She had me go clothes shopping. And the point she said she was trying to prove was for me to make up my mind if I was comfortable doing what I was doing. And I found that, in fact, I was comfortable dressing as a female, and that's when I felt more at peace and at home with it.
And then you got to the point where you were ready to be Amy on the job. What were your hopes when you handed them that letter?
I was in hopes that everything would work out fine.
Yeah, and instead...
It didn't.
Jay Kaplan, Amy's fired. They offered a severance package, which she chose not to accept. How common is Amy's story, coming out as trans and then being fired?
Unfortunately, it's all too common. Transgender people disproportionately experience discrimination, particularly in the area of employment. Either they don't get hired for a job or they get fired from their job because of who they are, for trying to present and be their authentic selves on the job.
And now this has resulted in a case that is about to be heard before the U.S. Supreme Court, R.G. and G.R. Harris Funeral Homes v. EEOC and Amy Stevens. The funeral home, Jay, is challenging a Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that went in Amy's favor. Will you explain that ruling?
So the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals held that Amy was discriminated against in violation of Title VII, a federal civil rights law that prohibits sex discrimination. They explained their finding in two ways. One, that Amy, she was fired based on her transgender status, in the fact that she was assigned male at birth, and yet she was living her life as a female in accordance with her gender identity. So she was fired because of sex. Mm-hmm. They also made this finding based on comments that the employer made regarding Amy. It involved gender stereotypes. In other words, Mr. Ross, he didn't believe that there was such thing as someone who could be transgender, who could suffer from gender dysphoria, which is a term that says that you identify differently from the gender that was assigned to you at birth.
And Mr. Rost is Thomas Rost, Amy's boss.
Correct, okay. Correct. Mm-hmm. And he made comments that he didn't believe that Amy would be able to appear realistically as a female, and that he objected to referring her as a female, using female pronouns. And so that constituted gender stereotyping. And federal courts for more than a decade had recognized this form of gender stereotyping is sex discrimination, and it includes, you know, it's considered to be sex discrimination involving transgender employees.
And here we have the funeral home arguing that Title VII does not protect trans people and that the appeals court doesn't have the authority to rewrite that federal law, and the court exceeded its authority by expanding the definition of sex in a way that can change what it means to be a man and a woman. That's the argument.
Yes, that's the argument that they're raising, but it contradicts, you know, countless federal case law precedent. Every federal circuit court of appeals has uniformly held that this form of discrimination based on gender stereotypes is sex discrimination, and that it does cover transgender people. So in essence, the funeral home is trying to rewrite the law, and the Trump administration, which has submitted a brief through the Solicitor General in support of the funeral home, also is trying to rewrite that law. The United States Supreme Court more than 30 years ago held that this form, basing employment decisions on gender stereotypes, and this was a case involving someone who wasn't transgender, a woman who was denied a promotion in her job because she didn't act femininely enough. She needed to wear more makeup and to be more deferential to her male employees, that this form of gender stereotyping was actionable as sex discrimination in violation of Title VII.
Jay, amicus briefs filed on behalf of the opponents have argued that a ruling in your favor would reduce the number of athletic opportunities for women and girls. What do you make of that argument?
Well, it's disingenuous. Of course, that is not the issue that's before this court. The issue is Amy's situation. There's nothing dealing with athletic events or sports events. There are millions of transgender people who participate in activities in daily life, including sports activities, in accordance with their gender identity. But that's not what the court has to address here. The court has to look at this issue, whether or not what happened to Amy and the reasons that were given by her employer for firing her, whether or not that constitutes sex discrimination.
If you just joined us, I'm speaking with ACLU Detroit attorney Jay Kaplan and with Amy Stevens. Amy was fired from her job as a funeral director for being transgender. Her case will be heard early next month before the U.S. Supreme Court. Amy, it's been a few years since this has been all playing out. What's it been like for you and your wife, Donna?
It's been an uphill struggle, both financially and health-wise. It's been a struggle, but we're hanging in there.
I know you've been coping with health problems. Your kidneys failed in 2014.
Yes.
Have you worked since you were fired?
I went to work for the Detroit Medical Center, Sinai Grace, as an autopsy deaner. And I was doing that until my kidneys failed. Mm. And since then, I have not worked.
Amy, you wrote an opinion piece for the Washington Post, and in it you wrote this. You said, "My case is about so much more than me or even transgender people." What did you mean by that?
The fact that an LGBTQ person can be fired from their job, they can be denied housing, any number of things, is not right. We're not asking for anything special. We just want the same basic human rights that everybody else has. And so far, we don't have those. We've been denied, and the way things appear, they would like to just erase us altogether, saying that we don't exist. But we do exist. We've always been here, and we always will be here, regardless of what they choose.
Your former employer says that having you come to work dressed as a woman, presenting as Amy, would force him to violate his Christian beliefs. And there are undoubtedly people listening to us talk who staunchly believe that he is correct and that being male or female is based on biology and not on how we feel. How do you answer that? What do they not understand?
For me to speculate on what they don't understand would be a huge mistake on my part. Everybody has their own mindset. Everybody has their own opinion. But for me, you can't decide anything without all the proper knowledge and research. You can't just jump on the wagon and agree or disagree with something when you know nothing about it. And the only way that people are going to learn about it is if we tell them and make them understand that we're people too.
Jay, the Supreme Court will be hearing arguments on October the 8th. So let's talk about possible outcomes. What would best case look like?
I think the best outcome would be that the Supreme Court would recognize that LGBT people are protected under Title VII, under the theory of gender stereotyping, sex discrimination. I think, you know, even if you are a justice that takes a textualist approach and decides based just on the words, it's very clear, particularly in Amy's situation, that she was terminated from her job because of her sex, because of who she is as a transgender woman, and that her employer fired her because she was going to present her authentic self in accordance with her gender identity, and clearly that's sex discrimination. If the court were, in the worst scenario, to decide to reverse what the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals did and to say that, in essence, that LGBT people are not protected under federal civil rights laws that prohibit sex discrimination, then we go back to a situation where, unless you have specific civil rights protections for sexual orientation or gender identity, that it's perfectly legal to be discriminated against. And Michigan is one of 29 states that does not provide those specific civil rights protections under those categories.
If the Supreme Court decides in favor of the funeral home, would that not threaten all of the lower court rulings in favor of LGBT people?
It would, in essence, overturn those decisions, and it would say that unless you have the specific, unless you're protected under a specific category like sexual orientation or gender identity, then you can be discriminated against. It would upend so many things, including in the state of Michigan, where our Michigan Civil Rights Commission last year issued an interpretive statement saying that our state civil rights laws protect LGBT people under the category of sex. It could also upend Governor Whitmer's executive directive that she issued earlier this year, providing certain protections for LGBT people under this theory of sex discrimination. And it would result in the court overturning what the lower federal courts have done and how they've interpreted the law.
Does Amy's case have the potential to be as impactful as the 2015 DeBoer v. Snyder decision, the one that struck down the ban on same-sex marriage, a case also coming out of Metro Detroit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in some sense, even more impactful, because one might have the right to get married, but you return to your place of employment over the weekend on a Monday and you could be fired from your job. And so having civil rights protections in the area, of course, of employment and housing and education and public accommodations is essential to the well-being and the dignity of the LGBT community. So can't underestimate the importance of these cases and what this court is undertaking by reviewing these case decisions.
Amy, would you do this all over again?
Sure. No hesitation. You have to stand for something, or otherwise you stand for nothing. It may not be quite the quote that was once made, but it's close. You have to try to do what's right. And not only for me, but for all of us. And the only way we're ever going to get anywhere is by working together, not against each other.
And we've been speaking with Amy Stevens and Jay Kaplan. Amy's case, being fired for being transgender, will be before the U.S. Supreme Court. We want to thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we do want to thank Amy for speaking with Stateside, despite dealing with a very persistent cough and cold.